God's unchanging word. Why don't you say these words out loud with me? I love these words. Say them out loud with me. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. Amen. Amen. His word shall stand forever. Praise God. Well, the title of the sermon today is going to remind some of you of an old television program that you're familiar with. God says, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Y'all remember that daytime TV show? It started in 1963. And of course, it began with a fellow named Monty Hall as the host of the TV show. And you remember the format. It kind of goes like this, that certain people in the audience that are dressed up in crazy costumes, they're called upon, and we'll call them the traitors. And so these traitors are given a chance to win a big deal, a big prize, a wonderful thing behind the curtain or behind the door. And so most of the time, the traitors, they're given something of value. It may be a brand new wristwatch or $500 or some item that they're given, and then they're given a chance to trade it. Would you like to trade it behind what's behind the curtain or behind the next door, whatever it may be? And of course, they'd have no idea what they might be trading for. But human nature is, well, this is nice, but there may be something even better back here. So I think I'll make the trade. And sometimes it's a great prize. It could be a new car or a trip or, new furniture or whatever. Or it may be what they call a zonk. You know, a zonk is it some silly nothing that has no value at all. So they made a bad trade. And so just to kind of help bring us along in remembrance of it, let's take a look at just how the show would begin, all right?
These people, dressed as they are, come from all over the United States to make deals here in the marketplace of America. Let's make a deal. And now here's America's top trader, TV's big dealer, Monty Hall!
Hey. Hello, and welcome to our show. It's so nice to be here again with you, and I want to say thank you so much for all the wonderful people who come from all over America and Canada and many other places too to play Let's Make a Deal. No matter where you go, everybody knows about Let's Make a Deal. I was at an airport the other day and somebody spoke to me in a foreign language and knew all about Let's Make a Deal. I said, how did you know about our show? And they do. They get to see it when they come and visit this country. It's one of the things you have to see. It's an American phenomenon. That's what it is. And it's a lot of fun. What happens is a guy like me walks down the aisle and says to three people, would you like to make a deal? And then they all react like that.
And they all react like that. Does that ring back some memories for some of you? Remember that? I think that particular clip that I had was an early 1970s version of Let's Make a Deal. But this morning, God is telling us, if we're listening, he's saying to each one of you and me here today, let's make a deal. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'll trade you my fellowship for all your fears. I'll trade you comfort for your confusion. I'll trade you strength for your weakness. I'll trade you help for your helplessness. And I'll trade you righteousness for your rags. So it's all right here in our scripture text today in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this morning I invite everyone here to come down to the trading floor, so to speak, as they did on Let's Make a Deal. Come down to the trading floor and let's make the deal of your lifetime. Are everybody ready for that? You ready? Okay, let's start off with the first trade, his fellowship for your fears. When Sherry and I lived in northern Alabama for a few years, there was a small Baptist church right on the edge of town, and they had a little portable sign out in front of that church. And I noticed one day the words on that sign, I really liked them. The words on that sign said this: fear and worry are dark rooms where negatives are developed. I like that, because we know that you develop photographs in a dark room. But this is saying that negatives are developed, negative thinking are developed in those dark rooms of fear and worry. So it's true, that happens quite often. We're in those places. In fact, I will just remind all of us that psychologists will tell us that there's really four basic fears. There's the fear of death. There's the fear of failure. There's the fear of losing security. And there's the fear of the future. God answers all of those fears. He wants to answer all of those fears right now, this morning. In fact, He does it through His Word and through His promises. The fear of death, you look at Philippians 1 and 2, the Bible tells us to die is gain. When a Christian is facing death, there's no fear, because we know our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we take our last breath, we're going to open our eyes. We'll see Jesus. We'll see our loved ones in heaven. Oh, there is no fear in death. How about failure? In Philippians 4:13, the Bible reminds us, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, through Christ who strengthens me. I'll never do it on my own, but through Christ. He is the source of my strength, and I don't have to worry about failure because my faith is in Jesus. Fear of losing security. Philippians 4:19, the Bible tells us, my God shall supply all your needs. Oh, listen to that word today. Let that promise just sink into your heart that my God wants to supply. He shall supply all your needs. Finally, this fear of the future, Matthew 28:20, the Bible gives us this promise, lo, I'm with you always. That means, lo means listen, pay attention. He's saying, you're not alone. I'm with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, I am with you always. In the future, you don't know what the future looks like, but just know, I will be with you. So God gives us an answer for each of those fears of death and failure, losing security and the future. And He's offering a great trade. He's offering His fellowship for our fears. Look at the scripture, Hebrews 13:5-6. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a great promise that is. Our scripture text that we just read earlier in Isaiah 41, he says, fear not, for I am with you. So let me ask you this morning, is everyone here ready to make this trade? Are you ready to make this trade? Are you willing to trade all your fears for His fellowship? Amen? Let's make that trade right now. Let's go to another opportunity for a trade. His comfort for your confusion. In our scripture text in Isaiah 41, he says, be not dismayed, I am your God. Now, dismay, this ideal of dismay. Dismay comes in our lives when we ask questions like this. We'll say, well, why did this happen to me? Have you ever been there? We all have at one point, haven't we? Something is happening in our lives and we find ourselves saying, Lord, why is this happening to me? We can look around the world and look around even in our own nation, and it's easy to be dismayed, and we look at things that's going on and we say, why is this happening? By the way, confusion always follows dismay. We often wind up saying, maybe not out loud, but even our hearts and our minds, we wind up saying, I can't understand why God is allowing this. Y'all been there, haven't you? I've been there. God, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing this sickness or this turmoil or the trial of life or this burden or this thing in my life? I don't understand it, God. Why are you allowing this? But then again, in the Bible gives the answer to us. If we'll just look at His Word in James 1:2-4, this is out of the Living Bible. Is your life full of difficulties and temptations? then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Don't squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. What a great word and promise and reminder that is. God is trading His comfort for your confusion. And He's reminding us in this trade, He's saying, I am your God. It's personal, isn't it? He's our Heavenly Father. God, as our Heavenly Father, He owns us as part of His family. He's owning us as part of His family, even in the tough times. Whatever happens, we still belong to Him. Let me give you an illustration of might help what I'm saying. If I sat down for breakfast and I looked in front of me and what I saw was a bowl of baking soda and another bowl of flour and another bowl of sour milk and then a little cup of salt, and that was my breakfast, I would probably look at Sherry and think she's lost her mind to give that to me for breakfast. But when you mix the right proportions of the ingredients I just mentioned, if you mix them together and you bake them in the oven, then you've got delicious hot biscuits. And that's a good thing. Sometimes in our lives, it seems like the things that are happening to us is just a mixture of odd events and odd ingredients that don't make any sense to us. They're not tasty. In fact, they're very confusing. And all the while, God, if we'll allow Him, God is taking those events and He's making for us delicious, hot, heavenly biscuits if we'll just trust Him. I don't understand it right now, but I'm trusting you, God. And out of that oven is coming those delicious, hot, heavenly biscuits if we don't give up. So far this morning, we've made two trades. We've traded His fellowship for our fears. We traded His comfort for our confusion. Are you ready to make another great trade? Here it comes, right here, number three. His strength for your weakness. Again, in our scripture text in Isaiah, it reveals the promise. God says, I will strengthen you. You know, a lot of times our weaknesses are due to sickness. We get sick, and in that time of sickness, we become very weak. But even God has an answer for that. In fact, in Exodus 15 and 26, the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord. I can still heal you. Whatever it may be, God can do it. Weakness also can come in our lives because of regrets over our past, regrets of decisions and things we've said or done. But I want to remind all of us today that Paul writes these words in Philippians 3:13. Listen carefully to what Paul said. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying all the mistakes I've made, all the things that's happened, that's behind me. The only thing that matters is that I know my future is in God's hands. That I put my life and my trust in Jesus as my Savior. And my prize is I'm looking forward. I'm not looking back. I'm looking ahead because victory is in my life because I know Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 37, and all these things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. As the crazy events and the current day seem to be just whirling all around us, we need to just stop and remember the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 40, verse 31. I just went over this scripture a week ago. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you waiting on God today? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on God. You will receive His strength. I love this trade. We're trading our weakness for His strength. But there's some more wonderful trades to make in God's version of let's make a deal. So are you ready for the next trade? Let's go to the next one. How about His help for your helplessness? The Lord tells again in that scripture text in Isaiah, I will help you. Sometimes we just need to hear that in our spirit, don't we? We need to step back and pause and realize God is saying, in the midst of everything, He's saying, I'm here, I hear you, I will help you. I will help you. But, you know, in order to receive God's help, in order to receive it, we must first recognize our helplessness. That we get so low, sometimes we nix the plan and the will of God because we're still so sure that we've got the answer, that we're going to get it done. And sometimes we just have to get to that point where we say, God, I can't fix this. I cannot do this without your miraculous intervention and your help. The Bible reminds us it's a broken and contrite spirit in which God comes and gives the answer. It's the broken and contrite spirit that God comes and meets the need. Jesus, He's waiting there with open arms this morning, ready to give you the answers that you need if you'll just reach out to Him and receive what Christ has for you. There's a fellow by the name of Lloyd Wilhite. Lloyd Wilhite was 75 years old. He was a dairy farmer. And his grass had grown quite a bit in one section of the dairy farm and needed to be mowed so he could bale it for hay for the winter. So he got his tractor and he switched up a set of mower blades to the tractor and he went to work. Well, when he finished the job, he pulled the tractor back in the barnyard and it was on a slight uphill grade right near the chicken house. And he's sitting up on the tractor. He switched off the ignition. The engine stops and he climbs down from the high seat up on that tractor and he's unfastening the mower blades. And as he's doing that, suddenly the tractor started moving backwards. Well, he tried to twist around and get back up on the jump seat, but he didn't make it because the tractor's drawbar hit him right in the knees and knocked him flat on the ground. And suddenly the tractor's rolling on top of him and it stops. And there's a 700-pound rear wheel of that tractor right on his chest. He's struggling to breathe. He realizes that he's facing certain death. And the breath is running out of his body. He prays, please, God. Oh, hear me. Please, God, save me. Release me. And at that moment, when he finished that prayer, the tractor began to move. And it moved forward. It moved uphill. And to Lloyd's astonishment, it was enough to free his chest from underneath the wheel of that tractor. Well, his dog and a farmhand found him. He had 6 broken ribs, 2 fractures. He spent 12 days in the hospital. And suddenly he gets out of the hospital and he's back home. And he's talking to the Maryland State Trooper that had come by to investigate the accident. And after hearing the story, as Lloyd Wilhide told this trooper what had happened with that tractor going uphill on its own, giving him life, he told that trooper the story, and the trooper said, you know, I don't think I'm going to try to explain what you just told me in the official record. He went on to say, a dozen men couldn't have moved that tractor uphill off of you. I'm going to tell you, a dozen men, 1,200 men, it didn't matter. It didn't matter because God provided His strength at that moment of weakness. When this man was helpless, God was there for him. So he received God's help for his helplessness. Will you make that trade today? Will you just stop and say, God, I'll never make it without you. These events, these things I'm dealing with in my life, I'm helpless. God, I trust in you. It'll be by your hand, by your favor, by your grace, by your mercy that answer comes into my life because I am helpless, Father. Help me. What a prayer that is. God loves to answer that prayer. There's another trade. The trade is that He wants to give us His righteousness for your rags. His righteousness for your rags. Isaiah 64 and 6 tells us, our righteousness is like filthy rags. That means we're never good enough on our own. No matter how hard we try, all the good things we do, we will never, ever be good enough on our own. But Jesus, oh, I love this. Jesus has made His righteousness available to you and me. He's made it available to us through faith because He took our sins, didn't He? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We'll never do it on our own. Our scripture text tells us, the Lord says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Christ is the Son of His right hand. In Hebrews 10 and 12, but this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. This man, Jesus, today is sitting at the righteous right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. I tell you, this is a great trade. His righteousness for our rags. If you haven't made this trade, let me tell you, it is the trade of all trades. It is the ultimate trade. It's a trade that brings you and me into that right relationship with our Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hear me this morning. Remember this eternal truth. God anticipates our needs. Are you hearing this? God anticipates our needs. He anticipates our anxieties. And He longs to make a trade with you and me. He longs to make a trade of His peace and His presence and His promises. He longs to do this so He can give us fellowship for our fears and comfort for our confusion and strength for our weakness and help for our helplessness. And righteousness, oh, His righteousness for our filthy rags. What a trade. What trades God wants to make with you and me today. You know, here's the good part. When we're on the trading floor and God's making the trade, there is never a zonk. There's never a zonk. There's never a crummy prize, ever. Aren't you thankful for that? Kathy Slack was a young widow. This young widow was raising two children all on her own. One day, her four-year-old son, Danny, wanted to ride his big wheel in the backyard. You remember those big wheels? My son and daughter had one. Her little boy, Danny, wanted to ride the big wheel in the backyard, and Kathy reminded him just to stay away from the pool, just stay away from the pool, and he could ride in the backyard. Well, she was in the kitchen, and she could hear the sound of that plastic tricycle wheel all over the concrete back there, so she's listening. Well, she's working in the kitchen, and suddenly she realizes that there's no more sounds from Danny's big wheel in the backyard, and she rushed out the door, and when she did, she saw the big wheel floating in the water. And there floating face down in the water was her little boy, Danny. Well, she pulled him out of the water. She tried to administer CPR, and soon the paramedics was there. They took him on a care flight in a helicopter to the hospital, and he lay in a coma. But finally, after many, many prayers going up on behalf of her little boy, Danny, Danny opened his eyes, and soon he was back again. He was back home. He was good and healthy, and he's playing as usual. But his mother, Kathy, she could sense a change in her little boy. There was something different about him, and she couldn't quite put her finger on it. And one day, Danny just blurted out, he said, Mom, I want to see a picture of my daddy. Well, Kathy had never shown him a picture of his father. His father had died before Danny was even born. So she brought out a picture of her husband. It was a picture of her husband with his baseball team. Well, Danny looked at that picture for just a few minutes, then he pointed to one of the coaches, and he said, there's my daddy. And Kathy looked at her little boy and said, Danny, how do you know that? Realizing that she had never seen a picture or showed him a picture of his daddy, and she hadn't even pointed out who in that picture of the baseball team was his father. And Danny answered, he said, I know because he was the one who talked to me in the hospital before I woke up. He said, son, you must go home now. Your mommy needs you. Of course, the man Danny was pointing to in that picture was indeed his father. Now, I praise God, there's never a zonk. There's never a zonk in God's version of let's make a deal. But only the promises, only the promise of eternal life, only the promise of a home in heaven, of a reunion with our loved ones, the promise and the privilege of being with our Heavenly Father and being with our Savior Jesus forever and forever. Oh, let's make these trades today. His fellowship for our fears, His comfort for our confusion, His strength for our weakness, His help for our helplessness, His righteousness for our rags. Oh, let's make that trade today. Would you please bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit is ministering to minds and hearts, is giving strength and hope when there's weakness, is giving an upward look of faith when there's no faith. God, minister by your Holy Spirit and touch those here today. And if there's anyone in this place that isn't sure that his home or her home would be heaven if she were to leave this world, God, let that heart reach out in faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let that mind reach out in faith and receive forgiveness and to believe on Jesus, to come into their heart and to be their guide and their friend, to be the best friend they'll ever have. Lord, let that trade of your righteousness for our rags occur in that mind and heart today that's needed in this place. We thank you, Father, for all your promises. We thank you for our Savior Jesus. May we be a bold witness. May we be salt and light in a world that is so desperate to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.